Record, go.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Stargate Oversight. As always, we are joined by our hosts and friends, Hope Frail and Artisha Frost.
Excuse me.
What are you doing? Hosting? That's my role. Me, Artisha Frost.
Yeah.
No, it's my job. Excuse me, it's my job. Danny Trejo is my name now. It's my job.
Why are you Danny Trejo?
I just had to think of a dude, and for some reason...
Okay, Danny Trejo, yeah, as we all know, most famous for his appearance in the Spy Kids movies.
Machete, who is in the same cast. Yeah, Uncle Machete, who exists in the Spy Kids universe, indeed.
As in, legitimately, this is not a joke, that it's actually canon?
Yes.
Yes.
I love that so much. Don't ask what your uncle did in the years 1990.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stargate Oversight. Let's actually introduce ourselves. My name is Hope Frail, and my pronouns are she and it.
Hi.
My name is Artisha Frost, and my pronouns...
No, your name is not Artisha Frost.
Fuck you. We're not doing transgender misgendering today.
Oh, fuck off. You're doing it yourselves right now.
Listen, just because Frosty doesn't have a set of it's pronouns, it's not so bad.
What do you mean? You are Frosty.
Listen, this whole body swap situation is getting confusing, and I don't know how on earth Ryan met Danny Trejo and was able to swap bodies with him.
I mean, we had a nice night out on the bar.
Sorry. The way you said his name there, my brain went Tranny Trejo.
Tranny Trejo.
You did say Dranny Trejo, and I feel like that's where she got that from.
It was a little stumble.
Post-transition Tranny Trejo.
Still stabs you in the face with a machete.
And remember, folks, we're allowed to say that word, you're not.
Exactly. It's a very important thing that you should learn. Ryan is also allowed to say the word.
Unless, of course, you are a trans listener, then of course you are allowed to say it. But in which case, disregard that comment.
Yeah, basically, you should disregard everything we just said.
Yeah. What are we doing here again? I forgot.
Trying to work out how to unbody swap ourselves, because ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, MBs, dolls, witches, etc., etc., it's the fucking body swap episode!
It sure is!
It's the obligatory body swap episode, because it's always got to...
And what that means, guys, is we get to see Samantha Carter go, wow, I'm a dude, let me look at my boobs now.
Oh my god, I'm so glad they didn't do that.
I know.
Every single body swap thing from this era always does that.
Fucking Zach.
The fucking Scooby Doo live action movie did it.
Oh, fuck, they did, didn't they?
I was so ready for it because, like, it's not in like that kind of way, in the kind of the way where it's like, this is how all of these go down.
As usual. We're here to inflict the psychic terrors on you before the episode has even begun. And that's okay, signed up for the episode? Horrors.
Episode? Huh?
Oh yeah, right. Fucking episode of fucking Stargate. Welcome...
Oh shit, are we a Stargate podcast?
For now. Because speaking of SAG-AFTRA, we have decided, we made up our minds, that if the SAG-AFTRA strike is still ongoing...
Which it looks like it very much definitely.
Considering their stated aim is to starve the actors out of house and home.
Last time I did look at it very much in detail, there was some potential hope of being able to sort of undermine the studio's attempts to do that because they're now planning to utilize a similar strategy they used during the last actor strike, which kind of worked out. Which is to sort of give certain breaks temporarily on independent film productions to allow actors to appear in those, which will hurt a lot of the big studios when they're completely deadlocked trying to make movies while smaller independent studios are now able to get some pretty big actors into their projects.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, that's I'm sure that will work very well, and they will be very angry about it. To which I say,
oh yeah, yeah.
Suck a fat one.
Unfortunately, in bad movie news, this is covered more in detail on a different podcast, so I'm not gonna like harbor on it too much. But since we're talking about it, I do want to say, let's pour out one for our homie A24. We're gonna miss you, buddies.
Oh fuck yeah, A24 have been bought out by a big money studio.
They're being bought out by a private equity firm, yeah. I believe.
Is that even worse? Is that
yes.
Even... Look, they make some like decent movies. Like Everything Everywhere All at Once was so fucking good.
Yep.
Wait, they made that old.
Yeah. And now they've already made a statement saying that they're no longer gonna make movies like that, and they're pivoting to big like franchise movies now.
Yep.
So, yep, RIP, A24's gone.
You mean
now.
A film that just looking like won Oscars and like was a career renaissance for like a load of people?
Yep. Dead. Because it's not making all the money, and some big investment firm would like to give a load of money.
So what happens is that you make good movies and win an Oscar. And
you didn't make as much money.
You then get bought by a private equity firm that says they're gonna make dog shit movies, and now you're worth $1 billion.
Yep, Stormy.
Pardon me, that was me burping at the fucking stupidity
of
all this.
Thank you, Ryan.
The masculine urge to just belch. That was only felt because Ryan is Danny Trejo.
The masculine urge just ruined the fucking audio of this podcast episode.
Oh, come on, I ruin it more than enough in post.
No, shh. Alright, so we should probably talk about Stargate, I think.
We didn't mention exactly what we're going to be doing. We just got distracted by other things, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, we were talking about our plans for the off-season.
Yeah, so... The off-season is not going to be Stargate, because Stargate is stopped work.
Stargate is struck content, which we technically are still doing at the moment, but we're trying to like wrap this up to not like...
Yeah, we wanted to finish the series.
And we're also going to see essentially what happens, like if this strike carries on, we'll carry on with Stargate. Yeah. If the strike doesn't carry on, like if they get the demands met, we will carry on with Stargate.
Well,
if they don't...
I mean, in the event that the strike does end while we're doing the off-season, I assume not while we're doing it.
If it ends,
it's very unlikely, but I'm saying if we're doing an off-season or we're doing another off-season, whatever is going on, we're still doing off-season episodes. I mean, I assume we're probably like finished like the...
How quickly before the off-season becomes a new season forever and we never actually...
right now...
Welcome to Gate Oversight,
I'm just counting how many episodes. So what will happen is...
Strike Gate Oversight.
What will happen is we're going to be changing the podcast name for that season to Unit Oversight. And we're going to be talking about Doctor Who, because Doctor Who is Britain's Stargate in that when it wants to, it can have an awful lot to say about this stupid fucked country of ours. And
when it wants to,
which is why what we're going to do is we've got some little arcs that we've set out, like, and we're going to look at episodes grouped by arc, not by Doctor.
I think Doctor Who often accidentally says a lot about this country,
yes,
just because they are filming in this country.
Frosty, that's why there is a four-part series called What If Your Policeman Was a Dalek?
Ah, yes.
Because
You can like do a whole thing about the fucking like Bobby of the hat, like a Dalek in the fucking trash can.
No, it's about the fact that the British government has hired Daleks as cops twice.
Are you serious?
We gotta incentivize and stimulate the private sector.
Yeah. And
if that means that the Daleks have to be created, Daleks.
If you remember the terrible World War II episode with the Spitfire in space.
I remember.
Yep, that's time one. They hired the Daleks as fucking air raid wardens just shooting down German bombers. And then later on in a Whittaker episode, the British government is proud to announce its new range of security drones. Behold, this thing that is definitely not a Dalek.
Honestly, in real life, what would actually happen is that they would replace all British cops, not with a Dalek, but with like those really shitty like automated like delivery bots that are in trialed in like some cities at the moment in the US.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all of the cops in the UK stopped by the one simple trick of putting a traffic cone on them.
Also, in the 80s, they had British fascists team up with Daleks.
Well, no, that would never happen, though, would it?
Yeah, we'd never get British fascists again.
Daleks are foreigners, aren't they? Yeah, they wouldn't team up with Daleks. Daleks are foreigners, aren't they?
I swear, I'm in love.
Which... Daleks fucking coming over here, taking all our extermination jobs.
If you don't like it, don't get in the exterminating business. Quite simple, really.
Yeah, I was happy in my life. Working down the volunteer border guard mines.
Still haven't said anything.
Oh, Brian doesn't know about the volunteer border guard.
No,
you've got to know about the fucking volunteer border guard.
Oh, you mean at the US border guard?
No. New government policy of the how to get a criminally underfunded Home Office.
Yep.
To be able to even enact a horrible, like, detaining and, like, drown them all refugee policy is, what if we get blokes from the town to come be volunteer border guards?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and it's not just border guards. Hey, what if we made it policy that if you see a shoplifter, you are allowed to beat them up?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a proposal as well. Basically, yeah. Basically deputizing all of the UK to be shoplifting cops.
Yep. Which, as a reminder, everyone, if you see someone shoplifting, especially baby products, you fucking didn't. You don't need to defend Tesco's honor. You have more in common with the shoplifter than you do with Tesco, and you have nothing in common
Tesco. Oh, you're getting absolutely fucking thrown into the prevent program here. They are taking your passport away and making you stateless now for that. Anyway, as an official statement of the podcast, just to make sure as maximum as possible that we get all thrown in prison by the British government. This podcast says solidarity to the civilians of Palestine.
Yeah.
So we should talk about Stargate now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we probably should. We probably should.
So we are talking about...
Probably should.
Yeah, we are talking about the Season 2 episode Holiday.
We are, yes. Written by...
Yeah, Greek, this is the Beach episode.
...of their American Idiot album.
Yeah, no, this is the Beach episode. They all go to the beach. They're all waiting around, and they're all being like, "Huh, where's Captain Carter and Dr. Frasier?"
Oh my!
And then they both come out together in bikinis. The camera like closely pans in on them. They have all of like the little lens flare and like the sparkles and like the
General Hammond says a wooga
wow sound effect.
Jack O'Neill gets a nosebleed and passes out. Oh man.
Exactly, yep.
I'm done with this shit. I honestly, see, here's the thing. I had it in my notes that I remember this episode being really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
And my position has moved to, it's not that it's really bad. My position is, this episode has some really, really good bits. And then it has some absolutely dog shit bits. Hey, kitty, what do you want?
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily entirely agree. I wouldn't necessarily say dog shit. I would mostly just say... I mean, like, again, I wouldn't even say bad.
I wouldn't
bad.
Even say it's bad. I'd say it's just a bit generic for
it's
a Stargate.
Mostly just, yeah, it's mostly just kind of meh with some actual little good moments.
This is great acting. Has had meh plot, yes.
Stargate has had so much, like, interesting plot lately and stuff and things, and...
It crashes and burns right
like
here.
It feels a little bit like a spark.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Y'all like filler episodes?
Yeah,
we got a filler episode.
Welcome
here.
To the filler episode with some of the best acting in. Which, to be fair, Christopher Judge is Christopher Judge, is Jack O'Neill.
We'll get there, but Christopher Judge is like actually really going for it in this episode.
He is. So once more into the Stargate, dear friends. Once more as we step out into. Yet another ominous marble box where there's not really many other places to search.
Yeah, there's like
curtains.
Some weird, like... Yeah, like I thought they were like cubes at first, but like...
The cube.
Like, I thought they were like some weird, like, red cube, like, sort of like, you know, like cryo weird tube things. But no, they are just some really fucked up, weird looking, like... curtains arranged in like a weird spherical like hiding super magical mystical machines and Carter finds like a baby's first Fisher Price tablet.
Carter does find a
yeah
a classic 90s compact tablet. I think I remember my dad having one of these.
You press like you press like the strange like Egyptian snake symbol and it goes the cow goes moo.
The square box goes in the square hole. The round
Indeed.
Box goes in the round hole.
The round box, that's right, it goes in the square hole.
No.
So they're all like, huh? Really weird, there's no one here. And, like, basically, like, the second that they are like that, old man comes out to declare his presence.
Ha ha!
Damn.
Indeed, it's an old man.
A very, very old man who doesn't at all look, like, heavily made up and is just kind of bobbling.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
They have not got the quality of old man makeup they had access to in season one.
So we said this episode has some good acting in it.
Marcello is the good acting.
Yes, I was just saying, unfortunately, no disrespect to whoever this actor is, your acting in this episode is not good.
Marcello.
Sorry, you are not good. What?
I think it's Michael Shanks in a shitload of.
Is it?
It's Michael Shanks in a bad wig and so much makeup.
I was sitting there going.
I was kind of like, is that Michael Shanks?
Yes.
I thought, no, it can't be. Legit, I was like, no.
When I saw this episode, my brain was going, oh, it's an old Daniel from some weird reality. And I'm legitimately happy that, like, okay, that's why I thought that. That is why I thought that.
Oh, I am so sorry. Michael Shanks, I am so sorry. Your old man acting in this episode is bad.
He just wobbles his head a bit.
Michael Shanks is actually the person on the show who has the most parts he plays. Because he also, you know, Thor.
The old man number three.
Yeah.
Old man also
plays Thor later. He also does, like, the voice for Thor.
Right.
In later episodes.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, his old man voice was so bad in this, like, genuinely couldn't even tell it was him.
Yeah, it's him.
This is just some really weird... I was just thinking, like, this is just some really weird extra they've just put in, like, old man makeup.
Nope.
The fact that it's actually Michael Shanks in this role as well
that
is incredibly hilarious.
That makes it funny now. Yeah, like, it's now actually funny.
Because before I was like, I feel really mean picking on this actor. It's probably just a small amateur actor.
And now that we know who it is, it's like, oh, I could...
Michael! Buddy!
Now we could pick on you for this one, yeah.
I now feel allowed to bully you, I'm sorry. I feel legally obligated.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Mikey, you mind if I call you Mikey, buddy?
Mikey, old pal.
Oh, buddy, old pal, Michael? Hey, Mikey.
So, alright, yeah.
We lost all track of four after the
match. Yeah, Tiago's like, oh, I know this guy. I've seen his nudes.
Yeah,
I've seen his OnlyFans.
I learned about him in school. And Apophis was like, yo, dog, go find me this mystical figure of legend who was a bastard who fucked us over good.
Yeah, never found him. I mean, I guess I have now.
Yeah,
hey, Apophis, is that bounty still good?
Yeah, I want to turn in my boy.
Apophis, can you take me back? This is kind of dumb.
And my boy, Maricello Cherries.
Maraschino
Cherries, it's a bad joke.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this guy's not gold. He's made special cool technology to fight them.
Based.
And he ran away because they tried to make him into a gold host.
Yeah, he just, like, he did the smart thing, which is like, listen, if someone offered to infect me, I would just leave. I would hit the bricks. I would just not get infected.
Anyway, hi, Daniel. Would you like to come with me and touch this box?
Daniel, please touch your hand to this metal plate.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Daniel's like, yeah, sure. And then they both get zapped and we're all like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah, the old man just falls over, probably dead, and Daniel's like, huh.
Probably dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Daniel is like, hello, I am Daniel Jackson. I sure hope that old man is dead. I mean, not dead.
Mm. I wish that old man the best.
It would be so convenient for me if that old man was dead.
Yes.
Oh, no. The old man, he is dead. Why is the old man dead?
So yeah, they take them both back to like medical in Cheyenne Mountain Base, and they're all like, "Hey, totally Daniel, all good. You're all good as new."
Yeah, how's things? Yeah, well done, Daniel. Great to see you. I hope you had a lovely time.
You got like, don't drive for a couple of days, but you should be fine.
Yeah, don't drive, don't drink, don't take any drugs. Sorry, Daniel. We know you had a meth binge lined up.
This old man is so fucked up.
No, Jackson, we can't let you have your meth binge, Daniel.
Man, this old man is so fucked up. Please, if he wakes up, don't call me.
I'm sure nothing has happened. I'm sure everything is fine.
Yeah, so they're having, your general sort of debriefing after one of their gate trips, and, like, we're looking through the stuff that we found at Marcello's place, don't understand a fucking word of it.
No, it's written in Greek? I don't know. Probably Greek.
It's written in really fucked up Greek.
Yeah. Also, Daniel is late.
Yeah, Daniel's... Well, he's not late. I think they probably assumed he was still, like, resting in, like,
yeah,
the medical
they started without him. I think they do say was late.
Oh, okay. But yeah, he arrives and is like, hey, guys, I am really good. I am so good. I am better than I have ever been. I am incredible. I am not the imposter. And please do not vote. Please do not vote me out. I think we need more information. Let's just continue.
Yeah, listen, you saw me in the reactor. I was clearly shutting it off, not waiting to kill someone.
Oh my god, it's 2023. It's nearly 2024, and we're still doing Among Us bits.
Yes, because Among Us is still a thing.
Is it?
Yes. Like, Among Us is still really popular.
I mean, I shouldn't talk. I met my boyfriend because of Among Us, but,
Exactly.
That's actually true, listeners. I did meet my boyfriend because of Among Us.
I was waiting.
Yeah, I was like, wait, no, I know exactly what I need to do. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Look, the pandemic was a weird time for everyone.
It was. It changed my gender.
It is so obvious that that game would not have got us anywhere near as successful if it didn't have the perfect storm of
life. I mean, that game had already basically been a dead game for like 2 years.
Yeah, at that point. It was almost a dead game on release.
Yeah. It was pretty on. It was very much on death's door, and now
then it got popular, and then they fucking made, and then Fall Guys came out, and now fucking beans are everywhere, and we can't escape them.
Fall Guys actually died off quite a bit.
The big part of that was the whole Epic Games purchase, I think, though.
Yeah, that didn't help. Epic Games has been
Epic was like, although, yeah, there's shit all over this
hang on a
game.
Minute. In funny news, Epic Games is now offering even more money to developers because they're just not able to make it work.
Yeah, because half their fucking library is just metaverse shit. That because, like, people complained about the Steam front page being
bad.
No,
there's crypto games. No, there's crypto games. They're going to pay off any day now.
Yeah. That's the thing. People said Steam used to be bad. Epic Games is 5 times worse and is not going to do what Steam did and improve its shit.
Wait, how does Epic even make money off of crypto games? There's no way it can make money off crypto games because that's not how the blockchain works.
They are being paid in crypto that they can already take out. I don't know.
Like, all of the dog shit decisions Valve makes all of the time, the, like, banning of crypto shit was actually pretty good.
Yeah. It was definitely Valve's best.
And it's actually kind of a surprising thing from them, because, like, Valve is so fucking libertarian, it's, like, horrible.
Valve may be libertarian, but they're not fucking dumb. Like,
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between, like, crypto and libertarian. There's a difference. Yeah.
If I ever, like, meet a Valve employee and start talking to them, I'm, like, dreading for the moment they start to just bring up their thoughts on Age of Consent laws.
I'm sure it's fine and they're not that bad.
The libertarians.
Listen, Valve did not vote for Bear City. Valve was not involved in Bear City, so, you know... Wait, you don't know...
Don't ask a Valve employee what their favorite book is.
Yeah. You know... Wait, fuck. Yeah, I was gonna say... You should know about Bear City, right, Frosty?
Bear City?
Yeah, the time the libertarians took over a city and it got invaded by bears. Because no one was collecting the rubbish.
What?
No one was enforcing don't feed the bears.
Oh my god.
So the bears just moved in.
Libertarians are so cool.
Started eating all the rubbish that was piling up everywhere and then started attacking people and, like, breaking into people's homes for food.
And the bears founded a new, more equitable society.
Yes! Yes, the bears founded the more equitable society. The libertarians just ran off.
Oh, that's so good.
Shout out to bears
Critical...
for winning the war against
Critical
libertarians.
Critical support to those bears. Oh man, if the bears like link up and make like an alliance with the emus, we're fucked.
It's okay, they're on different continents.
Yeah.
Damn, when the bears and emus develop a navy.
Oh no. The emus just gang together and take over HMAS Sydney or whatever the fuck the pride of the Australian Navy is called, and just sail it to America.
What's this episode again?
Yeah, the episode. So yeah, Carter pulls out the compact pad and is like, listen, I don't know what's going on here. There's some drawings on here. There's some files on here. I don't know what they mean. They're titled Big Titty Furry Waifu.png and MyFetish.png. Don't know what they're for. Yeah, we can't decode this tablet, but apparently it might be full of great weapons to fight the Gould.
Daniel, what do you think about this? Don't know anything. Goodbye, I'm going home.
Can I have a day off, please? I'm useless. Give me a day off.
Daniel, this is the United States. We do not give days off.
Can I take unpaid leave?
You know what? I mean, I guess Daniel's a civilian contractor, yeah. I guess, right? So
technically, he doesn't have paid leave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you don't have paid leave, buddy. You're a contractor. You're either here or you don't get fucking paid.
I got no idea.
Well, actually, you see, Daniel is not a contractor that we hire. He's actually an Uber driver that we just keep paying over and over again. It's much more simple than actually having to do all the forms ourselves.
Yeah, no, it turns out that it's actually cheaper to hire Uber drivers and just make them do other jobs than to actually get the qualified staff.
Oh my god, I'm putting my hand on the lathe, I'm sorry, yeah.
Wow.
The new private sector developments made out of, like, the stupid tech sector cons in London is going to be funded by, of course, the Vision Fund, is going to be the gig worker app that helps countries who are looking for service personnel with people who want to sell their skills as independent military contractors.
Oh no! The entirety of Non-Credible Defense just started jizzing themselves.
Hey, it's the world's first securitized in both senses. Don't ask me what that means.
Frosty, the thing is, this is already
fully militarized social network.
Frosty, this is already happening though. There's just one problem. Because the amount because the amount of people on Twitter who have paid for a blue check and are now pretending to be OSINT experts, and because they've got blue check privilege, they're moved to the top, and they're just spreading all this information and talking, saying basically shit they don't know about what's going on in fucking Gaza. It's already destroying the online OSINT industry.
There's no OSINT involved here. This is Uber for mercenaries.
Ah, oh, yes, yeah. Just as Big Boss would have wanted.
Here's the great thing about this as well. We don't actually have to make it. We just have to con Masayoshi Son into giving us money for it.
Just con the guys at SoftBank. I'm sure this is fine. I'll be writing our pitch.
Look, Masayoshi-san and the guys at SoftBank, some of the dumbest cons in the world, you can easily con them.
It does make me laugh that, like, some of the richest people in the world, you can just go up to them and go, yo, bro, I've got this cool idea, and then just walk away with $1 million, or, like,
you can
ask about my Ferrari.
You can be, like, sitting around not paying attention in a meeting with them while playing League of Legends.
Yep.
And they will still give you money.
Cool. He's really smart. He can, like, do all this and then play video games like it's nothing. And it's like, yeah, nah, bro. He's just antisocial and dumb. That's all.
I fucking love Sam Bankman-Fried so much, unironically.
Well, yeah, because he's literally like, dude, just went.
He's
like,
the dumbest con ever who just failed upwards until he went to fucking jail.
Yeah.
And then when he got fucking arrested, he just proceeds to be like, hey, everybody, here is a list of every crime I have ever done. What do you mean you all think I'm guilty?
Oh, shout out to our boy Jan Marslek, who got a lot of money and then found himself in apparel.
I do love that there are some revelations coming out that suggest that Jan Marsalek might actually be, like, a might actually be a might actually be an intelligence guy. After all.
Oh, do you know who, do you know what did come out though today?
Yeah.
Peter Thiel was a CIA stoolie.
Oh, of course he was. Wait, is that confirmed?
Yes, that just came out today.
No, no, as in, does that by proxy confirm now that Red Scare Podcast is a CIA?
Probably.
Ryan, we're breaking Ryan's brain here. He's got no idea what we're talking about. But
what are you talking about? Go on, explain.
Oh my god. Peter Thiel is... he's a billionaire. He's one of, like... He's one of the old PayPal guys.
Isn't he the Blood Boy guy?
He's the Blood Boy guy.
Oh,
I know the Blood Boy guy.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know what the Blood Boy thing is, he takes his own son's blood to stay young and healthy and alive.
It also doesn't really work that well.
No, it doesn't. No, of course it doesn't. It's fucking stupid. So, you all might hear, you might have heard, you know, bunch of alt-right conspiracy theories about adrenochrome and how everyone is secretly, like, taking the blood of children and stuff to, like, maintain youth or whatnot. And it's basically just the anti-Semitic blood libel conspiracy, just again. But, except in the case of Peter Thiel, he's actually doing it.
Yes. This is
like he has his weird like adult son just like give him his blood and he's like, I will inject myself with my son's blood and this will keep me young?
Also, I will live longer than if I don't live longer than my son, I have failed.
Yep. Listen, the easiest way to do that is just kill your
such
son.
Such a weird guy.
You want to go to your son's funeral. Is what you're saying. Hmm. Yes. That's kind of nuts, bruh.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, and there's also certain allegations that he has that he funds this fucking shitty podcast called the Red Scare Podcast.
I'm sorry, the
Red
what?
Scare.
It's a supposedly it sort of started itself off as being like the sort of the dirtbag, a dirtbag left podcast in sort of like the vein of like Chapo Trap House and stuff like that.
So yeah, like us.
But it slowly is, it's definitely not like us. It is like over time just increasingly fallen more and more into essentially the alt-right pipeline. Uh-huh. And they're all fucking weird racist transphobic conspiracy people.
Are they really?
And there is some allegation. There are some allegations that one of them that she allegedly had dinner with like Peter Thiel, and that both of them are incredibly cagey about what happened when they met up.
They had gay
sex. And so everyone is like gay sex.
Yes. Yes, that's what happened.
Heterosexual gay sex.
Yeah, they had heterosexual gay sex. Yes.
Did you not hear the part about she met up with Peter Thiel?
Yeah, listen. Listen, that's why they're so ashamed of it. That's why they can't admit it, because despite both being heterosexual, there was something gay about it. It was anal.
But yeah, like the weird caginess about it has like got people, which honestly is a possible credible theory that they are like an actual like Peter Thiel right-wing psyop. And now by extension, if that means now the conspiracy gears are turning again, right? Yeah. If by extension that means Peter Thiel may in fact be a CIA op, then Red Scare Podcast might also be a CIA operation.
I mean,
how many CIA podcasts are out there? I mean, fucking Fresh and Fit are probably CIA.
Probably a lot.
Kill James Bond, because Abby works for the CIA.
Those podcasts are pretty cheap to like make.
I'm waiting for a fucking CIA paycheck. You'll know when we get that CIA paycheck as soon as we start becoming incredibly racist.
Hey, CIA, listen, we are waiting for our paycheck.
Once we start being incredibly racist and also like guest appearing on like PragerU, that's when you know.
Yeah. Yeah, today's special guest, Dennis Prager.
Oh god, no.
Oh god, like, it would be absolutely horrible, but could you imagine, like, like Punk and Dennis Prager to appear on a podcast episode?
I
just, like, completely lying about who we are.
Start talking about, like, trans shit, and I just go, oh, by the way, I'm a communist.
Well, you've got to slowly ease into it, because he'll just leave, like, right away if you, like...
Yeah, we get Dennis Prager on, we don't tell him that he's going on with, like, two trans women.
You just have me talk for a little bit, and then you both start talking.
I don't know, I don't think my voice is passing enough.
I think,
like...
your voice can pass enough, sweetie.
Aw, thank you.
Alright, tender moment, moving on.
Right. Oh yeah, Stargate.
Yeah, Stargate.
Yeah, we are almost an hour in. Still on my first page of notes. So yeah, fucking Marcello gets driven back to Daniel's apartment by just some random dude.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jack at first, but it's not. It's just some random guy. And, like, immediately, like, as soon as that car leaves, just fucking books it.
Yep.
Starts just following random people in the street. And, like, with just him awkwardly being weird and walking down the street, I kind of half expected, like, the fucking Tobey Maguire Spider-Man shit to start happening.
So, yeah. So Daniel's gone for his day off, and the old man wakes up. And he says...
Yeah. Hey, guys, it's me, Daniel. And, like, to their credit, at this point... Like, enough weird shit kind of like this has happened enough to this point where they just ask him some questions that Daniel would know, and, like, without, like, being like, let's lock him in the cell for, like, 4 years, like they have done in previous episodes, they've experienced enough now to know the right questions to be, like, to notice the off signs and be like, yeah, this car, yeah, okay, no, this old man is Daniel.
Yeah. Though, I do want to point out,
yeah,
Michael Shanks has probably one of the worst line reads I have ever heard.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're talking about Cassandra, like, she's a 12-year-old girl. He says it in the creepiest fucking manner. I didn't clip it, but it's such a... But, like, my brain just went, ah, pedo alert of that line read. It was so
he's fucking nonce, she is.
Yeah, nonce alert.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, we get like the old man scene. I don't give a shit. Oh, so Michael Shanks, your old man acting is dog shit.
Yeah, except this is the thing. Yeah, Michael Shanks is pretending to be an
fucking
old man
acting school, you hack.
Yeah, Michael Shanks pretending to be an old man, pretending to be Daniel Jackson.
I'm sorry, that was so mean. I'm sorry, Michael Shanks, if you are listening to this and now crying, I am so sorry. I didn't mean that.
So this is where I'm about to say. Okay, hang on. So, alright, the Harry Potter movies, there's a bit where you have Emma Watson pretending to be what's her name, not Bella, the actual actress's name, Jesus Christ, Helena Bonham Carter pretending to be Emma Watson, pretending to be Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Helena Bonham Carter, another member of the Rogues Gallery of Tufts. And
Wait, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, god damn it.
Yep.
I legitimately didn't know that. I was literally about to say, like, that was this sort of thing done well, and then you just told me that, and I'm like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Marcello, as Daniel, goes out and makes a friend.
Why is every old English woman the...
there you go, you've answered your own question.
I'm afraid we don't have enough time to, like, do an entire podcast episode about the history of white feminism in the UK.
Was it second or third wave feminism? The fucked up wave? I can't remember which one it is. I can't remember which of our waves which of these is the fucked up feminism wave? I can't.
Second wave. Yeah. Second wave is the really racist one.
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Don't you love when a course that is absolutely necessary becomes fucking nuts?
Hmm.
Sorry. Second wave is the racist one. First wave is the really racist one.
Ah, feminism classic. Now we're adding racism.
If you are a working class woman, if you are a working class British woman listening to this, be you of any race, trans or cis, if you are working class, no matter what you might have learned and in school, the suffragettes did not fight for you.
No,
they fought
no.
for rich they white like, women.
They were like, yeah. They were like every suffragette was a fucking very rich, very
very white.
Well, no, of course the poors and the blacks shouldn't be able to vote.
No.
But we should, because we're rich white women.
Yes, we're rich. Therefore, that makes us better than the poor.
You see, because we're rich white women, when we get talked about in schools in a million years, it's still not going to be mentioned that we only wanted rich
white women. They're so heroes. They were so brave.
Oh, brave girls.
Do you see that woman that jumped in front of a horse and died? Isn't she amazing? Instead of just dumb and fucking an idiot because she's rich and has never experienced hardship in her life.
Man, wouldn't it be a shame if more modern TERFs used jumping in front of a horse as a form of protest? It would be really bad.
It's like,
it would be awful. It would be horrible. It would be awful if they did that.
That thing is taught as like they were so dedicated, but in reality it's like, no, she literally didn't know what she was doing. Because she's like a rich white woman who's never had to do anything in her life.
Yeah.
It would be really, I can't stress enough how really bad it would be if a TERF did that today. I would be shook, I would be horrified.
And I would fucking laugh.
No, you wouldn't. No, you would be horrified, honey. Honey.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes, I would be traumatized by the sight of a woman.
You'd be horrified, honey.
By the sight of a woman crushed to death by a horse.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft, yes.
So, non-actionable threat,
No, we're basically saying, listen, what if as an act of protest they copied the suffragettes because they want to be the suffragettes so badly?
And the suffragettes were a very successful cause, right? It wasn't anything to do with the fact that the war kind of broke out at the same time. It was entirely down to the suffragettes. And nothing to do with the fact that the government went, shit, we need the women to actually make stuff. Quick, give them what they aren't.
Yeah, we need...
Yeah. And then immediately, as soon as the fucking war ends, it's like, all right, women, the men want their jobs back. Fuck off.
Back in the kitchen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you made our guns. Now fuck off.
You made the guns. You made the bullets.
You've invented modern computing. Now fuck off.
That was World War II, honey. It happened in both wars.
Okay, yeah, I was sort of talking about wobble through-ish there more, but like, yeah, I guess like the women in workforce has definitely sort of happened, but it really ramped up in like with World War II, especially in sort of like, hey, like actual like intelligence and military like vital positions with women actually in them, because guys are all dead or at war.
Yeah, bad news, the men folk are all dead, so we're going to need women to do this. Fuck.
Until we have enough men to replace you.
Yes, women, if you're not qualified, get fucking.
And then they do the surprise Pikachu face when they come back and they're like, alright, now fuck off back and stop working. No.
What? What? Anyway, so the problem I have with this episode, and this is what's going to be annoying me, is, so I was watching this episode, and I was like, ah, the Hypnokink writer is back. like, from season one, when Carter had to have, like, a fucking hypnotic induction for some reason. And it's back again, because fucking Frasier shows up, and she's like, yeah, we're talking, like, brains are like computers and electrons, and you can program them and reprogram them. Anyway, I need to go and speak to this woman called Hex. They're apparently really good at programming people's brains, and that's a joke no one's, like, three people are gonna get.
Okay, but we have to talk about how the best character in the episode is about to appear.
You mean Frank? You mean Fred?
We kind of
glossed over the set, but yeah. Machella is around outside like, who wants to be my friend?
And then basically, like, he's like, who wants to be my friend? And then, like, a homeless guy is like, dude, what are you doing? And Macho's like, hey, you want to be my friend? He's like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, I will be your friend.
Whatever, might as well.
Listen, it's not... Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, yeah, let's go, we shall have a great feast. Let's go max out Daniel's credit card.
Yeah, let's go max out Daniel's credit card. Let's have some fucking ice cream.
But yeah, right, back at, yeah, well we're at that scene that you just mentioned happens now. Yeah. And also they learn at this point that, hey, we checked with the doorman at Daniel's place, and he never actually went back.
Yeah, no, he...
The guy who drove in there would probably know if he just, like, looked in his rearview mirror for a second, like, when he was leaving.
Yeah, no comment. Yeah, my notes just say, oh, shit, we've lost Daniel. He's gone walkies.
This is half of this episode is just the Teal'c episode again.
Yeah. Just doing Bane again. Except the missing character bits are worse, but the other bits are better.
Honestly, like, the Teal'c episode was fun.
Yes.
Where Teal'c ends up in what is supposed to ostensibly be, like, the hood.
Yeah, but Teal'c...
But, like, full of, like, the world's nicest gangsters.
Yeah.
This is the most understanding street thug.
Street thug who approaches you in a dark alley to do a wellness check on you.
Yeah.
So, hey, you okay, pal? Do you need some time?
Yeah, do you want some therapy? I got a voucher for 3 therapy, and it's not from an AI, it's from an actual dude.
So you see, they go back to fucking Machello's, like, time cube or whatever.
Yeah.
They're in their, like, hazmat. They're in the fucking HEV suit.
Yep. Hey, Carter, don't touch
anything.
The techno anything.
Music is playing. The techno music is playing off when you equip it in Half-Life 1. Yeah, Carter, don't touch anything. Anyway, we're going to proceed to, like, touch the Mindswap box.
Yeah, we're going to touch the...
What's really fucking weird about this scene is that, like... Normally, so Carter finds this, like, essentially medical life support, like, machine.
Yep.
And this is, like, normally, like, the hook for, like, this will be important later,
yeah,
and we'll come back and get it. But they are forgot, so it's not in the episode later on.
Yeah. Yeah,
doesn't come back.
No, they don't even go back to this planet.
No, they don't come back. No, I'm saying, like, you think, like, at least at the end, you think they come back at, like, the end of the episode to get it at least.
No,
nope. Right?
Never seen again. Nope. Machello comes up in, like, one more episode, but that's about it.
But, like, there's like all of the stuff where they're like, Daniel is on the verge of death and is standing there hoping and praying, oh, if only something could happen.
Yeah.
And at that point, I kept being like, okay, this is the part where they're going to go back and get that machine, right?
Yep.
Okay, this is the part where they go back and get that machine, right? Mm. It's like, no.
This is the part where nothing happens.
Yeah.
This is the...
So yeah, they... So Teal'c and Jack accidentally trigger the fucking device again.
Yeah.
And now we get, like, the brief best part of this episode.
Yeah, this is the best bit of the episode, which
where Christopher Judge is pretending to be Richard Dean Anderson.
Yes.
It's actually really good.
Yes.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Yes, my notes do say Christopher Judge becomes the third actor to play Jack O'Neill.
Yes. Honestly, like, he is so, like, he's honestly, like, so good at pretending to be him. It's really good.
But that's because Christopher Judge is just such a good actor.
Christopher Judge is just a good thing. Christopher Judge is just a good.
It's just like seeing, I mean, Teal'c is great and all, but, like, it's just seeing this like, scene and being like, oh my god, like, Teal'c, like, Christopher Judge is so criminally underused with, like, Because Teal'c's character is mostly just monotone voice.
It's because they cast Christopher Judge as Teal'c because they wanted a big, strong dude, and then they didn't cast him for an actor. They accidentally cast an actor.
He is so much better. Like they see, he's like, he is so much better than what he's normally given to work with.
They hired him for his Mongo powers, and then they realized, oh shit, we've hired one of the erudite British gangsters from Snatch.
God fucking damn it.
Perfect callback to last week, patreon.com/sgopodcast for the full Snatch episode.
The Snatch episode on our Patreon that made me feel so bad that we put a link to a UK Travelers charity in there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Anyway, so the condoms didn't work. They've swapped positions. So Carter is going to use scientific theory, and she's going to see if there's a way to swap them back using the scientific method. What if they did it again?
She's like using the scientific method of like playing a 90s point and click adventure game.
Oh god, she is.
Opening your inventory and pressing every item that you have on the random object in the middle of the room.
Oh, so this thing that's called the friend finder shovel does not actually function as a shovel. I need an actual shovel, for fuck's sake. Where did I sell my shovel?
Use the banana on this, use the apple on this, use the gun on this, use the mysterious key on this.
That cake that you got at the beginning of the game that you can eat at any point, and the cake literally says, man, this should be good to eat. Hey, did you eat that? Yeah? Can't complete the game now. Restart.
Yep.
That's some fucking Sierra game shit.
That is
some
beautiful
Sierra shit. It's a King's Quest thing, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it's fucking... Of course it's King's Quest, beautiful. Yeah. Because LucasArts games had, like, bullshit puzzles, but they generally didn't softlock you or kill you.
Yeah, shout out to Code Veronica for, like, requiring... for where you have to remember to go back and pick up your metallic objects later.
Yeah, and if you put them in a certain thing, you cannot get them back.
Honestly, of, like, the Sierra games I've played, I think the worst I've played for this is probably, Let's Just Do Larry 2.
Oh...
There's so much shit you have to do at the beginning of the game, otherwise you will be, like, completely fucking locked. You will be completely game over with no way to progress in, like, an hour or two's time.
Oh well, it's just Leisure Suit Larry, at least. What are you missing out on? Some CGs you can find on eHentai?
Anyway, we're Space Quest Oversight,
Also, how much we talk? Wait, Stargate. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to finish the episode at some point.
That's right.
So yeah. The problem we've.
Oh,
so
right.
Jack and Teal'c are hanging out, and we have discovered a problem. Junior is getting jiggly.
Oh yeah, I start calling him Jack from this point in my notes.
Jack, yes, Teal'c.
So yeah, he's like, oh, you've got the novel coronavirus. You're going to have to pray it away.
Yep.
Well, that is basically what happens.
Yeah.
You've got to pray away the novel coronavirus.
Basically.
Well, that is how it works.
you've got to pray the game away.
Something like that, yes.
Oh yeah. Then we get the scene with fucking... our old man, but not old man again.
Yep.
He's with our favorite character, Fred, in the whole favorite character in the whole show, I'm now saying.
They're eating ice cream.
Just walks into this diner and is like, how money work? Sir, do you have a credit card in your wallet?
Yes, I do.
Let me look in my pocket. Is this credit card? Sir, is this a stolen wallet?
Sir, you want... it's a small diner in the middle of a small town near an army base. They've dealt with strung-out soldiers before. But,
yeah, and he's immediately like, I am now going to buy... I am going to, like, pay for everyone here's lunch.
Yep. Also, we mentioned that we go back to the novel Coronavirus. We mentioned that Tialk slash T'Jak has the novel Coronavirus, right? But the only way to cure it is that Jack needs to take a shitload of weed and go into a deep trance, and my notes say, this is calm of my earlier joke about hypnosis.
Yeah, he has to surround him with some really like romantic scented candles.
I'll tell you what, watching this episode made me want one. It made me want to go into a trance using weed.
No, it doesn't. Legally, doesn't.
It makes me want to go into a trance using alcohol that I am allowed to purchase because
it makes you want to go into a trance using explicitly only CBD, the shitty illegal version of weed.
No. You're allowed to drink as much poisonous liquid as you like, so alcohol.
Yeah, when you take the CBD edibles and you're like, damn, these edibles ain't shit, and then nothing actually happens. And it turns out these edibles really weren't shit.
Yes. As is tradition.
Let us have the cool weed!
No. You are not allowed the good weed.
Cool.
You cannot have the good weed.
Cool weed. Sorry.
But yeah, again, I might not say, listen, I was joking about hypnosis, but fucking... Tilk as Jack is talking. Jack as Tilk. Listen, this is how you relax. This is how you go into fucking trance. This is how you can chill the fuck out. So I can give you. So you can cure your COVID-19 problem that you have.
Yeah. You just have to let go, so we can explore each other's bodies.
They've not gone to Bergheim.
Yeah, it's really light in here for Bergheim.
That's very true. There are too many lights for it to be Bergheim.
So, Daniel, meanwhile, actual Daniel in the old man body, he immediately dies because he sees the Greek language.
Yep.
Sees Greek, immediately dies.
I mean, who wouldn't die upon just seeing the concept of Greek?
Ugh, Greek.
It's all Greek to me!
Yeah, he's like, I understand some of the symbols, but it doesn't make sense. It must be a language, a variant language I don't know.
Yep.
And immediately, just dies immediately. Goes into what I will say in this episode is the world's shortest coma.
Yeah, Dr. Daniel Jackson has... Daniel Jackson has gotten too worked up as an old man.
Yeah. It's like he's fallen into a coma for like 10 minutes, or what the rest of us call falling asleep.
Yeah. So back at the diner.
Oh, we get these fuckers stole our joke. They made the joke that we would have made, in which, like, this guy thinks that our old man dude is a Gulf War veteran. And like, I was like, oh, yeah, I fought for all of you. You all would have been conquered by, like, the evil great system lord. And then the dude is like, what you mean? Like, he's been the Saddam Gold? It's like, motherfucker!
I do have...
That's the joke we would have made!
Yeah, I do have in my notes, hey buddy, want to hear my tragic backstory?
Yeah. And he just, please, I just met you. Please stop trauma dumping on me.
He's just like, haha, time for my tragic backstory. And to this random fucking homeless guy who has probably had a pretty shit life himself. And his only response is, damn, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. He just thinks like, oh man, this is like some poor veteran who's like, he's just been broken. Right? This man is no longer functioning, right?
This man has gone brain dead. Just yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like, they gave him the good weed.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, like, keep this man away from Fox News at all costs.
Oh my god, he is so impressionable. Impressionable old guy. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
The only thing, this Fox News says that these Democrats are like the Gould.
Oh god. Oh god, could you imagine how fucking absurd, like, American broadcast news would be if, like, the news of the Gould became public?
Oh god, it would be so... the vibes would be so rancid. It would be both bad and brilliant at the same time.
So anyway, in this next scene, Jack O'Neill breaches the Equality Act.
Yeah, no, in this, so, yeah. Yeah.
I would like, just telling my subordinate, no, he can't shave his head for religious reasons.
Yeah, but it's his, head.
For religious reasons. Oh.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
you may not shave my head, motherfucker.
Yeah, Jack has to take a sensitivity course now after this.
Yes. You're not respecting Teal'c's religion and his beliefs. Yeah, you have to properly respect his need to shave his head.
But yeah, Jack doesn't, because he's like, listen up, listen, you fucker. Do you know how long I was on estradiol to make sure male pattern baldness didn't hit me?
Wow. Wow. To be fair, I wouldn't know anything about that, so...
It's like, I am not letting this hair go.
Gonna be honest, guys, I wouldn't know anything about male pattern baldness.
Can confirm Ryan has a very full head of hair.
We better get you on that estradiol just to make sure it stays there, buddy.
Honestly, and
if you get some racks, if you get some racks going out of it, you know, that's you know, that's a cost you're willing to
take. If it was literally become trans or lose my hair, well, guess not being a man.
I do want to say
that was
what you can take. You can take smaller dosages of estradiol that will not give you big titties, but help you keep your hair.
Ah.
You can also take something called Vastride.
We will lie about the dosage and make you become a woman.
Yes. Take something called finasteride, which does prevent your hairline from receding, but it because it lowers your testosterone, okay. You do feel less horny.
How is this? My hairline hasn't changed since I was 10.
No, Ryan, as I said, Ryan has the fucking good genes.
Yes, Ryan, you do have to take Spiro alongside this just to make sure it works properly.
Like, I think I said this before, I have, like, something, I can one up most, like, 20-something Twitch streamers or internet personalities. I have hair.
He does.
Have you noticed that all, like, the popular white 20-something streamers are all bald or balding?
Yeah. It's quite funny.
All of them.
It is quite...
Even, like, the fucking, like, potato man who hates pronouns, you know, just bald man.
Mm.
Fucking pronouns!
I have never seen a better example of proper Brexit geezer in, like... And from, like, that kind of age range, it wasn't, like, 50, like, 40, 50 plus. Like, it's, like, oh my god, it's beautiful. it's such a, like, oh, did you vote Remain or Leave, mate? I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that guy is just like a complete example of why this country is not a serious real country.
Yeah. Everyone
in this country is insane.
Yeah, everyone in this country has fuck.
I mean, you guys are here.
The sewage water, the lead, all the microplastics have got you. Or the prion disease, actually, as well.
Your brain is 80% microplastics.
Yes. Yeah, the average Briton.
You have mad cow. You have mad cow disease. Your blood is lead. Your brain is microplastics.
Damn, my brain is microplastics.
All of the water in your body. All of the water in your body is sewage water.
Yep.
You have the bloodborne disease that makes you super British.
Oh no, not the bloodborne disease that makes me super British. No.
Oh my god, no. Beast.
Wait, is this the disease that makes me into a werewolf? Go I can live with that.
But it's the bloodborne kind of werewolf.
As of course the meme goes, British people who played Bloodborne and still live there didn't understand the game.
Yeah, the lesson is don't live British, it. It's
British
shit.
People who play Bloodborne went, yeah, this, you know, I don't know what people are talking about. This scary, you know, it's fine. It's just an average Tuesday.
Don't like it. No, it's supposed to. It's shit. It's supposed to be shit. Don't like it. You can fuck
Terror
off.
Terror of Bloodborne is living in England.
My life sucks. Good. It should suck.
It's supposed to.
That's what life's about, isn't it? Stargate SG-1 is a show.
Yeah. So anyway,
life was so much better in this country when you could drink beer out of a paint.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, you could just drink the paint.
You know, do they still make Party 7?
No,
I don't know what that is.
Anyway,
I actually don't know what that is. By the way,
so.
Oh, you don't know what Party 7 is? Yeah. Oh, it was like a classic. It was like a classic staple of like the fucking like 70s and like 80s, I guess,
right,
as well.
Not that old.
Well, no, I mean, you might know it through Legend, is what I mean, right?
Legend.
It was essentially a giant, like, basically, I guess you would say it was like a fucking just a big tin of really shit cheap beer that could serve a lot of people.
Oh, mate, was it like one
of
those...
It was dog shit, but
was
like...
Was it like the old kind of the tins as yeah. well, where it's like yeah. not like made of aluminium, it's made of like fucking like actual
yeah.
tin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you whip out the Party 7? We're having a right good time.
Anyway, we sort of touched on it earlier, but again, we see Christopher Judge just being the best fucking actor around.
Ah, yeah, the duality of man in this episode.
Yeah, is a fucking Richard Dean Anderson trying
Michael Shanks,
to be stoic.
I was going to say, Michael Shanks being absolute
yeah.
dog shit at acting in this episode.
I mean, it's the thing. Is this Michael Shanks
just
like,
going
first
off?
A big
actor? Just Christopher Judge going off?
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Shanks is going off. Is going off in a bad way. Like, Michael Shanks is eating
well,
the scene.
Well, Michael Shanks is usually good in the show.
He is.
This episode, he sucks. I'm sorry, buddy. You were bad in this episode.
Yeah, it's not good.
If Michael Shanks gets legitimately upset about us saying this shit...
I think he's probably... He seems cool.
I think he's cool.
You did one bad episode in a show that showed nearly 30 years ago.
We are not the barometer for quality.
Yes, like, we are.
Come on.
Are we?
No.
I mean,
what
you couldn't cut this.
You
couldn't cut this, but we are somehow lower quality than Well, There's Your Problem.
Yes.
Do you want to know something?
That's the problem. No,
we started
editor.
Recording. We've been recording for nearly 2 hours, and we haven't barely mentioned the fucking thing we're supposed to be talking about. And this was supposed to be a quick recording.
Yeah, the problem is, again, when we have an episode where there's nothing to say, we just end up saying random shit.
Also having fun. Listeners, we are having fun.
Yeah,
we are. Because we're having a good time with our friends.
Exactly.
Aww.
And for a minute, speaking of having a good time and getting real, for a minute, the show gets really real because Christopher Judge goes to see Hammond. And Hammond's like, good news, we found Daniel at a local diner. And Jack's immediate reaction is, oh my god, I hope the cops don't fucking kill my friends.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, do not send the cops. The cops are dumb fucking cunts. They will shoot and murder my friend.
Yeah, the cops will absolutely fuck this up so bad. Please do not get my friend. Oh, too late.
Yeah, oh, Nine's like, go fuck yourself. Yeah, Hammond's like, go fuck yourself. And then the very next scene, we just see Fred, who is a black guy.
Yeah.
The cops arrive and he's immediately like, oh, we're gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, geez, yeah, right?
For some reason, this episode just got weirdly real about that out of nowhere.
Well, it's like, it was like kind of a generic-y, and then suddenly, like, wait. The actual proper comment.
Yo, Stargate says ACAB?
Yeah, Stargate says ACAB suddenly, out of nowhere. Like, what? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's just. Boom, suddenly.
Yeah, yeah, and we have Fred, who's just basically there horrified, being sort of manhandled and held back by cops, while he's desperately pleading them not to fucking kill. Oh boy.
Do not kill my best friend. He's just a little birthday boy. Literally, in this case, do not kill my birthday boy friend.
Yeah, I was not expecting this, like, otherwise kind of meh episode to just suddenly be like, yo, this is actually pretty good commentary on law enforcement.
Yeah. And the fact that Daniel does nearly get shot. Like, if he was if he wasn't white, they would have fucking shot him.
No. You strongly misunderstand how American law enforcement works.
Yeah, sorry, he only gets a light.
If you're black, you will be shot by the cops. If you are white, you only might be shot by the cops.
Yes, good point. But. Luckily, Daniel only gets a medium beating.
Uh-huh. Hey, you can thank all of that, not just for the legacy of policing as an institution, how it started, but also from great guys like the Killology guy.
Oh god, that motherfucker.
Who, like, basically trains cops in the US, like, every civilian is a potential threat, and you should be always ready to gun them down at whatever cost.
There's no such thing as an innocent or some shit.
Yeah, you are a wolf. They are the sheep.
And some of these sheep have teeth and are willing to kill you, but you don't know what sheep it is, so you have to assume all sheep are ready to kill you at all times. And because you're a wolf, you're not scared of sheep, but you are actually scared of every single sheep, because every single sheep could try to kill you at any moment, you big strong wolf man.
So and
you
need
fucking hell, it's so
dumb. Because of the systemic racism in the system, it means that the people assumed to be the wolves, as it were, are black people generally, but
what do you always say about black sheep?
Oh, god damn it.
But at the same time, like...
I'm actually, like, part
the,
of me...
The police, the cops do still kill unarmed white people, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially the unstable.
Especially if you are poor. Especially if you were poor, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Part of me has always
cops are not your friends, no matter who you are.
Sheep and wolves, and how black sheep is used to denote, like, the weird one. Has that always been a racist thing, and I've just never realized it, or is that not a racist thing? And it feels like a racist thing the more I think about it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if it is. It just feels like it is. Sorry, I just suddenly had that realization in my head. I'm like, wait, don't know if that's real or not, but it feels like it is. Sorry,
no, it's fine. Yeah, I agree with you. There's so much. Like, hidden racism that you don't realize is there until you just think for a second.
Okay, let's preface this, given who you are. There's so much hidden racism that you don't realize if you're white.
Yes. that's a fair summary. Especially when you are white and middle class, you don't realize.
Yeah, Daniel is just fucking dying at this point.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're like, don't worry, they're bringing back Machella. He'll be here any second. He's here now.
Yep.
Like this is the part where you expect, like, there would at least be, like, a seed, like, a fade scene transition to, like, them taking time for them actually to get him back.
No, he's just there.
No, he's just here. He's just here. He's here.
Yeah, sorry, Daniel is an acceptable casualty of my war.
Yeah, he's like, okay, trade offer. I give you my technology. You give me Daniel.
You give me Daniel's life.
Let the room die.
Yeah.
And they tell him to just go fuck himself.
Yeah. Basically.
And he says, no, the magical switchy machine is encrypted, blah, blah, blah. You can't switch people black, back, blah, blah,
you
blah,
can't
blah,
switch
blah.
People black, Frosty!
Fuck!
Sorry, I just...
You actually can do that, as you've established in this episode.
I just started looking this up, and it's amazing, people going, oh my god, only a racist would think the idea that a black sheep being racist is racist. It's like, yeah, okay, cool, so it is racist.
Yeah, if you look at something and say maybe it might be racist, we should think about this and observe
and then
it maybe
someone
more.
Says, you thinking it might be racist means you're racist.
That means you are the real racist.
That means it probably is racist. Good to know.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I see those kind of comments, I'm like, oh, so it might be.
This is racist.
Also, come on, this is getting ridiculous. Haven't you ever heard of the phrase the black sheep of the family? It refers to color black. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. Mate.
Buddy!
I can't be racist. I played Disco Elysium.
Never. Did you play it as a fascist or did you play it?
Oh, these people absolutely took the fucking fascist path in Disco Elysium.
Oh, God, they did.
And they're like, why does Kim hate me? Kim's meant to love me unconditionally. I'm doing the good thing, right? Speaking of prison and stuff and people in prison, for his crimes, Michello has been locked in prison and he fucking hates it.
Yes.
He's been put in the prison room and he fucking hates it. And he is very unhappy because my freedom...
he gets put in there for like all of 2 seconds.
Yeah, he is bitch made because he's immediately like, please, sorry. Please, I'll teach you the code in exchange for my freedom and you letting Daniel die.
And then they're like, hey, how about you like spend like 5 minutes with Daniel?
Yeah, why don't you speak with the person you just tried to fuck, you, the person whose life you have just terminated by your...
Yeah, and then we have some weird writing at this point of the episode in which, like, they try and be like, we're not so different, you and I. But the way they do that is by giving this fucker the exact same backstory as Daniel.
I mean, it's because Michael Shanks is playing both of them, probably.
Well, I mean, this is a writing thing, not like the...
Yeah, I know.
They give them the same backstory!
Yeah, I don't get that.
They're the same guy!
Yeah. Same actor, same guy, literally the same guy in this case.
Like, yes, I have spent my life fighting the Ghouls. And they took my wife away and turned her into a Ghoul.
They took my wife too, you cunt!
Yeah, and then, like, this entire scene is just, like, them going, no, you, constantly, until someone, like, clears their throat and says the episode runtime has run out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because we have, like, literally it's, like, 5 minutes before the end at this point, Carter comes up with the solution.
Shoot him in the head? No, wait.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's, hang on a second, we can't swap back the same 2 people.
But what if we did musical chairs with the human body?
What if we basically just use other people as, like, bridges between switching people back to their original bodies?
Yeah, exactly. So
we switch Jackify Tialg with Michello.
Yep.
And then we switch Tialgified Jack with Old Man Daniel. And then they switch. Then they just switch the last two. Then they switch Michello and Tialg back with each other.
Yep.
And then they switch Daniel and Jack back.
Yeah,
and
which
then
makes Michael Shanks
as
the fourth person to play Jack O'Neill.
Yes, it does.
But that only takes a second because everyone's dead. And Michello just looks up at Carter and just goes,
I don't even have time to explain why I don't have time to explain.
And dies.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut.
But it's fun. I'm sorry, I can't teach you the code to my BlackBerry. Dies.
So, yeah, that was an episode of Stargate.
Yeah, moving on. Right.
Do we have any more thoughts other than like the 2 hours of nonsense that we've just spied?
I mean,
I have nothing.
The episode got really weirdly real about cops at the midpoint, and
yes,
then
it
never
did.
Comes up again.
No. Yeah, yeah. We're not going to think about this too much, but right. Yeah, we have just like just basically illustrated how much of a horrific nightmare policing as an institution is. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, especially American policing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've been Stargate Overseas.
Yeah,
right?
This has been a long episode.
See, yeah.
We have one more. Tired.
Are we still doing
yes.
the second recording?
Yes, so it's done because I'm good. Because there's like 5 days where I can't do jack shit in like
we
2 weeks' time.
Been.
So, yes. Yeah, we've been Stargate Oversight. I've been Arctisha Frost.
I mean, we could do a normal double next week instead, I guess.
We can do a double next week anyway to bring up stuff up. Anyway, we'll work it out. We still got time. We can, and
yeah.
We have been. Yeah, I've been Arctisha Frost. You can find me on Blue Sky as Arctisha Frost and on Twitch as Arctisha Frost.
Hi, I'm Hope Frail. You can find me on Blue Sky as Hope Frail. You can find me on Twitch as Hope Frail on Twitter. You can also find me on Hinge. You can find me on most sort of just gay cruising apps.
You can find Hope on FetLife at patreon.com/redacted.
You can find me on Gaia Online.
Final Fantasy 14 is Hope for a
Have
horrible.
A hotel.
Fuck! No, you want to talk British disasters? You want to talk British disasters? The fucking Channel 4... Just the funniest thing ever. Channel 4 exclusively revealed that the children's online game, Habbo Hotel, is infested with pedophiles, and it has Jon Snow reading it in the most serious voice ever.
Well, to be that expose did actually single-handedly tank the entirety of
Habbo
Hotel's
yes.
video game. It was incredible. They've never recovered. Yeah, so it turns out that being the pedophile game really hurts your PR.
Yeah. F's in chat for Habbo Hotel. The pool will always be closed.
Yeah, it's pedophiles in it.
Yeah. The pool is full of pedophiles and stingrays and pedophiles with AIDS. And stingray AIDS.
Yes.
Probably one of the few good things that fucking 4chan did stupid thing.
No, because it was incredibly racist.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good bit, if only it wasn't racist.
And then they randomly harassed a random woman as well.
Yeah, I remember.
Randomly harassed a random black woman because they're racist.
Yeah. You could have done a really cool bit, a cool little bit of trolling. No, you just had to make it weird. You had to make it racist. Thanks, 4chan.
Especially because they couldn't do a like video game raid without the classic everyone arrange yourselves in a swastika pattern as well.
Yep, the health and safety swastika, geez. Yep.
The what?
Oh, they called it it was referred to as the health and safety swastika in a few places that talked about this.
Unironically, I was in sixth form in the last days of Club Penguin. And we were in just the sixth form computer room, just playing Club Penguin before it would close down. and literally we just saw an entire army of like bots show up in like the random room we were in and arrange themselves into a swastika pattern.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Anyway, next episode. Fuck off. Why are you still here?
Go away.
Go home.
Also, I've been Ryan, by the way. No, we didn't...
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, fuck. I forgot about the
token. Oh, yeah, yeah. What about it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see you later. Bye. Bye.
I don't even have time to explain why I don't have time to explain.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Stargate Oversight. This was a tough one to edit. There's like an hour of bonus content. Go to Patreon, give us money for it. Listen to the bonus episode. You will have a good time, or a bad time if you don't want to listen to us rambling for like 2.5 hours when we barely talk about the episode. Anyway, Stargate Oversight is myself, Hope Frayerl, Architisha Frost, and Ryan. Our editor is Hope Frayerl. Patreon.com/SGO podcast. We will see you next week.